Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avdisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avdisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining me for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's a woo, and what gets flushed down the loo in today's world where we ask, before I go off on one of my rants, do you think Joe Biden poops in his pants? As we leave the age of stupidity and indifference, will there be high levels of cognitive dissonance? When discussing vaccines, people squirm and they chafe. Yet we have mountains of evidence they are not effective or safe. Why are people so afraid to be wrong? Is it not better to know the truth and be strong? And the question that plays on our minds like a jingle, America, what are you waiting for? The Batman signal? Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. If you're joining us for the first time, I'm sorry about the kazoo, darlings. I can't afford an orchestra. A very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. We are not woke. We know the agenda behind the poke. We will never wear a face cloak. We are not afraid to crack a joke. Martini heads are spirit-centered patriots from all walks of life. What we have in common is a love of country. That would be America, and a commitment to destroying the globalist agenda of Luciferian slavery, which would turn this planet into a human cattle farm, which it already is in many ways. Moo! We martini heads believe in common sense, common decency, and a common courtesy. We believe America has a sacred purpose in mankind's awakening. And we also believe in cocktails, because they're lovely, and because Metaphysical Martini is where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits, and what a lovely combination that is. Darlings, on today's show, we have Quack, questions, answers, and comments, which is generally always the meat of our show, and we follow that with awesome American civics and history. If we have time, we will include a silly poem, and we will end, as we always do, with the cocktail du jour. But before that, you know, I want to talk about something, darlings. I had the pleasure of sharing some of my thoughts with the good folks at Children's Health Defense. Now, who are these people? If you have any doubts about vaccines, you have heard of them, and you've certainly heard of RFK. Children's Health Defense is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Their mission is to end childhood health epidemics by working aggressively to eliminate harmful exposures, hold those responsible accountable, and establish safeguards to prevent future harm. They fight corruption, mass surveillance, and censorship that puts profits before people, as well as advocating for worldwide rights to health freedom and bodily autonomy. Now, until recently, when I guess he took time off to campaign, CHD was led by RFK Jr., who has done phenomenal work in this area and has been met with nothing but ridicule from the darker side of the establishment. I caught up with Children's Health Defense when their People's Study Vax Unvax Bus Tour showed up in Salem, Oregon, which is, you know, not too far down the road from me. And I have to give credit to Polly Tommy and her team for pulling this off. They have been driving around America for a year or more now, I think, you know, videotaping heartbreaking stories from those who have been vaccine injured or vaccine murdered. Now, they interviewed me, but I'm not vaccine injured, of course, as I would never let that filth enter my body. But I have seen a great many vaccine injured clients over the last 4 years. And I wanted to share my experiences. And rather than talk about it, let's listen to that interview now.
Hello. Can you tell us your name, please?
I can. It's Ani Avedisian.
And who are you?
Well, I'm a spiritual counsellor, energy worker, and a paranormal activity specialist.
And what do all three of those things mean?
Okay, that means I'm here to put the world into divine alignment and to bring common sense and common decency back onto this planet. I'll give you a little bit about my background because that will just facilitate the whole interview, okay? I was raised in my father's hotel in West Central London, which also doubled up as a safe house for various military intelligence and secret service organizations. And I was raised in an environment where I knew about the deep state machinery, the Illuminati, and the agenda of what the United Nations was going to turn into, what the WEF was going to be, what the WHO was going to be. So I didn't have to awaken into any of those things. I come from that culture. And there's also no easy way to say the fact that both my father and I were compromised into working for the people that we are now actively fighting against. I'm a specialist in identifying and dealing with Luciferian energies. And all vaccines, especially this one, this fake vaccine, the COVID-19 one, is a Luciferian agenda. I want to explain to people what that means because they hear that word and they go, oh, it's some religious right-wing nut job. And where am I? I'm a libertarian conservative. I'm not religious, but there is a supreme cosmic intelligence out there. Luciferianism seriously just means that you go against the establishment. The people who worship Lucifer are the people that we call the upper echelons of deep state. And they do this because Lucifer turned his back on co-creation with source energy. And when genetic material was available, when we first started to have the first physical universes, Lucifer became a bit of a mad scientist and started to experiment with the genetics. And created the very first vibrations of what we call terror and fear. So these Luciferians, they do not worship the divine. They worship only the material. Since they don't co-create with the divine, they need energy from somewhere. And the only place that they can get energy to feed off is the fear of the people inhabiting whatever planet they happen to be colonizing at that time. I've seen probably about, I'm counting close to 200 vaccine injured people over the last 5 years, all of them from the COVID-19 vaccine. And I wanted to just tell you a little bit about what I'm seeing with these vaccines. They're not vaccines for a start, and they're not all the same. Some of them, the very worst ones, they produce a sort of what I call a nanobot. It looks like a parasite because I'm trained to read things inside the body and I can talk to these entities. But they generally don't talk back. The ones from this COVID-19, they're very intelligent, even though they're hive mind. And I started to see people come in with strange symptomology. The only common denominator was that they had all been vaxxed, right? And I'm looking into the body and I can see all of these little parasites and they're all replicating inside the body and they're forming a sort of an intelligence network. This is extremely troubling to me. And it should be to everyone, because that intelligence, I ask that, why do you need an intelligence network when we are divinely connected? This particular intelligence network is there to cut humans off from their divine interface so that they will be able to take orders or instruction from another entity, an entity that is not who we call God. That is the worst of the vaccines that I've seen. Other things that I've seen, of course, are the thickening of the blood, where you've got these blood clots, and the entities themselves will tell you, this is what I'm here to do. We also have entities in there that go straight into the brain and start to produce things similar to early Alzheimer's, where they start to attack and shrink areas of the hippocampus. I know, because of my background, that there is a Luciferian agenda to turn this planet into a slave camp of transhumans and then post-humans. That has always been the agenda. And the only way to get people to buy into this agenda is by deception and trickery. And if you have, especially a country like America, which I love, I'm a very proud American, I always will be, but we tend to worship hospitals and we tend to worship illness and we buy into it. And we create these hospitals and these pharmaceutical organizations that are palaces of pain. And we worship our pain and we identify with our pain. So it wasn't very difficult to convince people to go and have an experimental shot in a car park and then get a donut or a freebie or something like that. You know? So I'm here specifically to tell people how you can overcome this. I'm not going to talk about medicine because that's not my background. You go and you see these wonderful alternative doctors that are taking the spike proteins out of your body and doing what they need to do. That's lovely, and I'm sure that with persistence, diligence, and focus, that will work well, because physical bodies need physical remedy. But this is a Luciferian agenda. We are not Luciferians. We are divine beings, or cosmic, if you don't like the term divine. The only way to overcome this and to make all of the other health protocols, medical protocols, useful and efficacious is for you, all of the world, I'm talking to everybody right now, own what you are. You are supreme cosmic intelligence. Each and every one of us, we are an individualized manifestation of supreme cosmic intelligence. We should stop praying to God and start acting as representatives of God. That phrase, to thine own self be true, we need to own our sovereignty. This is what has happened. We have created an apathetic and naive and distracted citizenry. We need to get back to the spirit of 1776 and own our sovereignty. And what does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty translates to common sense, common decency, common courtesy, common empathy, things that make sense on this world. The harmonious flow that comes from one's divine alignment simply makes sense. Look around you today and tell me you are not in a cesspool of insanity with so many confused people, misinformation on both sides, because that's how this kind of warfare is fought. People are very, very confused, very tired, very scared, very weary. I don't care if you're religious, I'm not. But you have to understand that there's something out there that is greater than all of us. And that thing is pure and unblemished, which means that at our core, we are pure and unblemished. So each and every incarnation we have is another chapter in our lives. Right now, here we are on planet Earth, at the cusp of a great awakening. We've had the deception. We're going through some sort of cataclysm. We are now awakening to the fact that if we're not proactive as citizens and as sovereign beings, we will be at the beck and call of darker energies for the rest of our lives. I don't believe that's what needs to happen on planet Earth. I think that what is going to happen right now is we're going to have a mass awakening, thanks to the people like you on this bus. We're having a mass awakening and people are going to relearn what sovereignty is. When you own your sovereign soul, no one can convince you to do anything that doesn't feel right to you. When you go back into divine or cosmic alignment, your vantage point changes tremendously and you look upon the world as some crazy computer game that you're playing. And because you have processed the emotions around it, you're no longer angry or triggered or troubled. You see what's happening in a cool, calm, objective way, which is the way that sovereign people from with divine alignment act. You'll be able to see what the situation is and you'll be able to be in your power and say, this doesn't make sense. I don't think I'm going to do this. So that's most of really what I wanted to say today is you can't do this without owning your true nature.
fascinating. Although I don't like it when you say we've got to stop praying to God. I think that's one of the most important things we should be doing.
No, I disagree. We are gods in bods. Rather than praying to God as an outside entity, we should be cognizant that we are individualized manifestations of God and step up and be the people that God expects us to be. So what I'm saying is don't delegate your salvation, but own the God that is within you. Does that make better sense?
Where you're coming from. I hear what you're saying. I have a little different on that, but a lot of what you said I'm bang on with. I
mean, okay.
But, you know, isn't that how the way the world works?
Well, it's fine. And if you're at a place where you want to pray to God, then pray to God. But then you move to pray with God, hopefully.
Well, so... Oh dear. But listen, what I would say is that you are, I love the hobby. We've got to start to, I think for years we've been brainwashed. For certainly me in a British school, learn to obey, learn to be a good girl, learn to respect authority, and then you're brainwashed. And then you just bow down. You're right. We bow down to the white gods of whatever the medical professionals. And we've got to turn that around.
Yes.
And we've got to own it and trust our gut instinct, which I call our God instinct.
Amen.
So you're saying amen. You do believe in God?
Of course I believe in God. How could I not believe in God?
I'm confused.
Of course I believe in God. I use the word God. You're saying to me, why? I'm saying to you, don't pray to God. God created you. Everything that God is in you. Each and every one of us, we're not lesser beings. We're perfect molecular structures of pure source energy. Own the innate godliness within you. And be God's representative on earth. That's all. Of course, I believe in God.
Okay, good. So I was a little confused there.
Okay, I'm glad to have.
I represent probably the average person in this world that gets confused. So that's good. My questions are good because someone else will be going, I thought that too. So a lot of this is great. I mean, maybe all of it. I don't know. Everyone will be. It's a difficult subject, this, because everybody's so picky. And gets it. It's like the vegans. They attack us more than anything else in the world. More than vaccinations, God, or anything.
Yep.
God love you, vegans, but I don't know where we're going with this, but but you know, it's extraordinary that this is a subject that's very volatile.
Yeah.
So here's what I want, as we go into a new pandemic, which we are going into, by the way, everybody, it's either bird flu, climate change, all of it, who knows. What is your advice so that these people, you've seen the outside of this bus,
yes,
do not make the same mistake again and fall into fear, because fear is where it starts.
Yes, that is the tool of the cabal. I want people to understand that if, you know, without fear is the food for the darker side of the establishment. And we weren't supposed to have fear. We weren't created to have fear. We were created with the amygdala and all to have a heightened sense of awareness for danger. Right? The human race has been compromised and henpecked to death so that we're terrified of just about everything, whether it's happening or potentially going to happen. Understand that fear is an absolute illusion. And this is why I say own your sovereignty, own the godliness within you, because fear does not exist in the original coding of mankind's blueprint. There is no such thing as fear. There is a heightened state of awareness so that you can make decisions pertinent to your physical safety. Just buy into the fact that you are a magnificent, immortal, eternal being who is adored by your creator. That vantage point alone will give you cool, calm objectivity, and you'll be able to look around and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to stick that thing in my arm or bum or wherever they put these vaccines these days. You know, you'll just say, no, I don't think I will. And then you will be bringing great light into the world. When you are divinely aligned, you bring light. And when you bring light, people around you see things. It's common sense. That's really all it is. And it's nothing that anyone doesn't know. They've just been distracted from it.
Now, is there anything else? Any warnings, any words of advice that you want to tell our people?
I'm not going to warn anybody. I think by this time, if you haven't figured out what's going on some level or another, you probably are going to be entrenched in fear for the rest of your life. I want to tell people there's a great deal of hope with this. You are hearing doctors say, oh, it's happening. It's been 3 to 5 years. The spike proteins, people are dying. People are dying. Half my clientele is dead. But there is a way out of this. But the way out of this is sovereignty and divine alignment first, which brings objectivity and common sense, which makes you a better citizen. And I think I also want to mention something, because we don't talk about shamanism or, you know, I come from a genuine Armenian animist shaman's bloodline. America particularly has a sacred purpose on this planet, to unite the world in some new form of secular spirituality as we hear the waves of the fourth dimension lapping on our shores. This is a very sacred land created for a very sacred purpose. And I believe that I want to tell all the American citizens right now, can you remember what happened in 1776 when the British wanted to take away our guns? We shot them. That wasn't a bad thing. You know, we crossed frozen rivers. All of this is not a romantic thing. Don't have some romantic notion about America's sacred purpose. But America is the place where we are supposed to bring all our faiths, religions, and thinkings together. And that will morph into some common philosophy of pure source sovereignty.
Anything else?
We can do better as a human race.
We can. And I think that was very, and you know, a different kind of interview to we normally do.
Yes.
And lots of, maybe we don't agree on all aspects, but that's the way the world goes.
Yeah.
For me, there's my one and only, my Jesus. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to
say, I have a lovely relationship with Emmanuel. I adore him. There's no problem with your Jesus. He's awesome.
My Lord. Yes. All right, on that note, but thank you.
Thank you, Polly. It was a pleasure.
I was falling asleep before because I was so tired. Now I've got tons of energy. Oh, so there's that. Okay.
Thank you.
And that was my interview on the People's Bus Tour with the wonderful Polly Tommy. And I have to say, Polly Tommy and her team were genuinely lovely people. They were so welcoming and easy to be with. And again, that's amazing to me, because all they've done for months now is tour the country and listen to one heart-wrenching story after another. Now, you might have noticed in that interview, I don't think she quite understood my concept of divine sovereignty. But that's fine, of course. And it's also typical of folks with strong religious beliefs. When I tell people I'm not religious, they think I don't believe in God. It just means I don't follow a religion. You know, the concept that we are gods in bods, should we choose to act like it, I understand that it sounds blasphemous to many Christians for a variety of reasons. But in my opinion, God does not create lesser beings. Everything that is in the allness exists in each one of us as potential, waiting to be expressed. I have great respect for Children's Health Defense and for RFK Jr., and I will support his organization in any way I can, but I won't vote for him for president. We need an outsider, someone who is fearless, someone who cannot be compromised. And it would be very useful if he had, as Trump does, a soul contract to expose the corruption, break the multi-party system in favor of forming a sort of an American assembly. No career politicians. You know, citizen senators. It's an ancient concept, but we will update it for today's world. That person that we need is Trump, in my opinion. You see, RFK doesn't have the support, and I've already seen he's compromised, and he would have to make details to get the support that he needs. And we need deep state to be routed out completely. Their roots burned into ashes. No trace can be left to linger in a prison somewhere, no matter how remote. Because if we allow them to live, we will repeat this ridiculous scenario indefinitely, because they will find a way to bring out those tentacles of influence. And where, I mean, don't tell me that prisons are not places full of agony and darkness that feeds them. So that scenario, only Trump can be the president for now, because anything else only serves the darkness, because he doesn't care. He has nothing that you can blackmail him on. Look at what's happening to him now. It's just, it's repulsive. And if that doesn't open the eyes of all the people from all the political affiliations, you know, you're just not seeing what's in front of you. Anyway, darlings, I'm ranting. Let's get on with the show. And it's time for Quack. Questions, answers, and comments. If you would like to share the musings of your noggins with martini heads across the globe, or the plate if you're a flat earther, send your emails to me, arnie@arnieavedisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And please let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as Omit Personal Details. So let me take a sip of this cocktail as I shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity to see what pops out. I don't know if you remember last time on the last show, the cocktail was just crap and it was awful. I'm really hoping this one is better. Here we go. Aha. We'll talk about that. That's quite nice. All right, let's pick. That is actually much better than I thought it would be. I was very hesitant to do a cocktail today because I had an upset stomach this morning and alcohol did not sound like a good idea. But I seem to have recovered quite quickly. What a surprise. All right, I'm shaking up the fishbowl here and shaking. And the first email is from Jan, who is in Boise, Idaho. And Jan says, do I have to be a drinker to be a martini head? I have been sober for 15 years, but I still enjoy your show. Oh, how lovely. I mean, Jan, no, you don't have to be a boozer. We have many non-boozing martini heads in our group. We have many teetotalers. I have to say, you know, for those of you who are recovered, I mean, wow, good for you. Well done for taking responsibility. And I admire you because if you can sit through a show titled Metaphysical Martini, when someone's drinking throughout the entire show, and then you listen to the cocktail recipe at the end of the show, and you still have no desire to hit the bottle, you guys and gals, you bring great light into our world. Because you didn't let one thing ruin your life. You didn't give up everything for that one thing. You got rid of that one thing and you gained everything that you wanted to gain. So huzzah for all of you. And I'm going to say, besides bringing great light into this world, you've motivated me to feature more mocktails on the show. You know, I'm the first to admit too much booze will have an impact on mental and physical health. And we need to be in good shape to deal with the fallout from the Great Awakening. Because there's a portion of the Great Awakening called the Great Fuckening. And, you know, even though we all know nothing can stop what's happening, it doesn't mean it's going to be pleasant. So let's stay chill and calm and alert. Jan, one of my favorite summertime sodas is a good spicy ginger ale or a ginger beer with a healthy squeeze of lime juice served on the rocks. And this summer, I'm going to attempt to make my own ginger beer. Thank you, Jan. The force is with you. And welcome to our group of martini heads. Okay, who else wrote in this week? Let's pick this one. This is from Leo in Bend, Oregon. And Leo asks, Ani, can reptilians really shapeshift and do they eat human flesh? Friends, you'll be surprised how often we get questions on this theme. Okay, Leo, some of them can shapeshift. Yes, they can. But it's not as common as some folks make out. You know, changing your form takes practice and it requires focus and concentration. And as for eating human flesh, it's not considered good meat. Most reptilians eat fruits and vegetables. The ones that eat meat consider human flesh inferior. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I'm just passing on the intel. There are races out there that are not so fussy, but Earth humans are not in contact with those races. So huzzah for that. And the reptilian race, it's not a small thing. It's not confined to one planet. There are billions of them. And then they have their subgroups and ethnicities and varieties of culture, just as we do. And they're not all Draco, you know, strength and honor orc-like beings that fly and live to terrorize people, like in the science fiction movies. Some of them are mild-mannered lizards. Others not so much. But there's everything in between the mild-mannered lizard and the Draco. You know, once Earth joins the Galactic Federation, and I hope I'm alive in physical form when that happens. But once Earth joins the Galactic Federation, we will have the opportunity to meet them and learn from them. They're not what I would describe as warm and fuzzy people, and that tends to give them a bad reputation. But their mental capacity, I mean, wow, it's far greater than ours. They are sharp and they are quick to process. They don't let emotion get in the way. We could learn a lot from them, and I'm sure they could learn something from us too. You know, what could they possibly learn from us? Perhaps a gentler approach when dealing with non-reptile races. Thank you, Leo, for writing in. And you can now cross being eaten by reptilians off your worry list. Okay, moving on. Excuse me. Here's a lovely little postcard from Annie. Annie is vacationing in Greenville, South Carolina. Annie says, in your opinion, actually, she says a lot of things, but I'm going to shorten it. In your opinion, which is the best religion to follow? Oh, I'm a little dry. Let me take a sip of this drink. Hold on, folks. Don't go away. Okay, so Annie is asking me, what is the best religion to follow? Annie, I think the best thing is to transcend the need for religion and move toward self-realization. Our planet is 4.5 billion years old, give or take. How many civilizations have risen and fallen in that time? Certainly more than we have been made aware of. And in all that time, why have we not figured out that we all worship the same source of life? In all that time, why have we not allowed the sociopaths to use our, you know, why have we allowed the sociopaths to use our religions to pit us against one another? Now, I don't want homogeny, you know, I don't want a homogeneous population. Cultural color is a good thing, in my opinion. Our devotional rituals may differ, just as our cuisine differs. But the big picture remains the same. So why do we argue about it? Because common sense is lacking here. The ego programming is being triggered and fed a diet of divisive drama, and peeps are running around like headless chickens on crack, talking BS like, we can never negotiate with them unless they give up their pink flamingo god and worship our zombie unicorn gay god. It's all very silly, Annie. You know, if you study all the world religions back to back, you will come to the conclusion that the core tenets are the same. You could bypass choosing a religion and just practice the core tenets. And if you are attracted to one religion's rituals, the cultural color, whatever, by all means explore it and understand it and practice it if you wish. But we must remember that the core tenets of cosmic spirit are the same everywhere. One is not better than another, it's just different. And there is no one pure religion. They've all been corrupted and tainted. And before that, there was just the natural process of empires merging and merging their spirit religions. You know, for me, I don't buy retail. I go directly to the manufacturer. You know, I don't need some salesman to tell me, you know, to sell me on to thine own self be true. But that's a very good question. And I thank you for writing in. Worship God as you wish or not. That's what freedom is all about. However, you know, you need to understand you are part of something greater, whatever you want to call it. And also, Annie, I know you wrote this letter 3 weeks ago, but I wanted to keep your question today so that I could read it on the show, so I could segue into a promo for my Cosmic Conversation this Saturday, April 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Zoom. The subject is world religions. So if you fancy a little sass with your comparative religion, go to my website, aniavadisian.com, for information on all my classes. And if you'd like to join us on April 27, send me an email and I will register you. The cost is $17.76, and you can request an audio recording of the Cosmic Combo at no extra charge. Let's take another question. This is from Jerry in Tacoma. And Jerry says, Arnie, do you think the US Constitution needs to be rewritten? Okay, this is a subject that's coming up quite a bit now. We've had quite a few of these. No, it first needs to be studied and understood by an awakened and educated citizenry. Most countries have a constitution. Mostly written, some are not, but most do not have the system of checks and balances that we have. Now, we put the Supreme Court in there for a reason. Now they need to be reminded of their original purpose. I think our constitution is a work of art. We need to push to have it taught in schools, like starting yesterday. If young people have no real knowledge of their roots, they will be rudderless and easily manipulated. We are seeing that today. We are seeing a great many of them turned into brainwashed automatons. That's the real pandemic right now, the march of the hive mind automatons. Row, row, row your bot gently into hell. Verily, merrily, somewhat scarily, they are sounding their death knell. Sorry, folks, it just came out. I can't always keep it bottled up, you see. The rhymes must be free to fly. Fly, be free. Don't worry about where you land. Just fly. Let's do another question today. Let's see. This is from Dawn in Bognor Regis. And for those of you who don't know, Bognor Regis is a lovely English coastal town. Dawn says, I have recently been diagnosed with an inoperable condition. There is nothing they can do for me but to refill my pain medications. Do you think it is possible, genuinely possible, to overcome a condition such as this with prayer alone? Okay. And the part I read is part of a much longer letter. Dawn, it depends on what you mean by prayer. If you mean, oh God, I am suffering here, and I beseech you to help me if you deem me worthy, then no, not really. If by prayer you mean accepting that you are an inherent part of the allness, loved by your creator, and considered as an equal by your creator, and are all powerful as is your creator, then yes. But let's apply some common sense to this, okay? First of all, it's a mental universe. How we operate in this universe is mental, and that requires logic. A sovereign mind, an aligned mind, is a rational mind. And in your case, and I'm not going to name the condition as you asked me not to, but in your case, it is imperative that you give up refined sugar immediately. That is the first and best thing that you can do. Sugar feeds the condition. You shouldn't stop respecting your vessel just because it took a wrong turn, you know, especially since our minds are the drivers. If I were in your shoes, I would see a good naturopath, one who is also an expert on nutrition. I have seen miracles happen with these inoperable conditions once the diet was changed and the colon was aggressively cleared. And folks, just a trigger warning to those of you who don't normally talk about colons and rectums, I'm going to talk a little bit about colons and rectums. Many years ago, I read a book titled Death Begins in the Colon. I agree, not the greatest title, perhaps, in my opinion, but a must read for today's human beings. We do not have enough roughage in our diets. Fast food is little more than pre-digested, heavily seasoned pap. Microwaved foods lose their nutrients. Supermarket produce is sprayed with all manner of sanitizers and preservatives. God only knows what they inject into livestock these days. Grains are manipulated to such an extent, they give us more pain than nutrient. So alignment and diet together will change your life and prolong your life with quality of life. When doctors today, most of whom are complicit in mad murder, I mean, heavens above, when doctors today say there is nothing more that can be done for you, what they mean is there is nothing else they know how to do. Or sometimes they could suggest an alternative with a proven track record of success, but then the hospital would lose money, and if they do this too often, they will lose their bonus and they will lose their job. This is what it has come to. We built these palaces of pain where we worship our diseases and rely on magic tricks to fix us. But those magic tricks have side effects, which require more magic tricks, which the medical industrial complex is all too happy to produce and prescribe. America's healthcare has become a money-making machine, creating disease instead of eradicating it. What is my point here? We are responsible for our own health and safety. If we ate better, drank mainly water, walked, stretched a bit every day, we could empty half the hospitals within a month. Now, lifestyle changes are not easy, but nor is dying a slow and painful death. And if we apply common sense, the choice is clear. And if we do these things while we are relatively healthy, even better. I see illness, my darling, as an illusion. Something that is just a temporary condition. Just because the doctors told you, you go home and you're going to die because we can't operate and there's nothing that we can offer you, that is not what's going to happen. You can just simply treat it as an illusion and focus on the glory that is your biological system. So let's start simply, though. The colon is a huge part of the immune system. We don't want to compromise gut biome, microbiome. We don't want bacteria and other toxins leaking through the intestinal walls into the bloodstream. And if we're not digesting and eliminating properly, we are going to get sick. So let's find out which foods we're allergic to and eliminate them. So that's the first thing I would like you to do when you see your naturopath. You know, get that list of sensitivities, and anything you're sensitive to, out it goes. Add a little fiber to your diet, hydrate properly. You know, the gut is actually made up of many things. It's the mouth, the esophagus, the stomach, the pancreas, the gallbladder, the liver, the small intestine, the colon, the rectum. It all has to work together. And if the gut is healthy, disease has to work very hard to penetrate the body. And even if it does, a healthy gut serves a healthy immune system. So we'll be able to shake off whatever comes our way with relative ease. I'm going to suggest something, darling. Just give me a call here, okay, Dawn? Give me a call and we'll set up a little chat. I have a lot of ideas for you. But alignment is where it starts. Know your true nature. Know your God in a bod. That's where we start, because that's where creation started. And that is the vantage point needed to make medical magic tricks efficacious. All right? And I think we'll leave it there for quack for this show. Many thanks to the lovely Martini Heads for writing in and sharing their thoughts. It's my favorite part of the show, really. Or is it the cocktail that's my favorite part of the show? I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's the silly poetry, or maybe it's the civics, or who knows. But the joy for me is getting my emails and going to my P.O. box and getting those postcards and letters from you. And just getting an idea of what you guys are concerned about. And thank you for sharing with Martini Heads everywhere. And now, my darlings, it is time for awesome American civics and history. The reason we started this segment is obvious, or so I believe. Americans have forgotten why the Constitution was written, why it was necessary. If you asked a common or garden variety teenager today to explain the Declaration of Independence, how would they respond? If you asked, what is the main purpose of this document? For whom was it written? And what is it trying to explain? what sort of response would you get? If you were to ask, what sort of action is the Declaration of Independence attempting to justify? Or why do you think the Declaration regards this action as a serious and unusual one? What does the Declaration suggest is the relationship between a government and the people it governs? On what conditions is all legitimate government based? What justifies the ending of that relationship? What sort of answers do you think you would get if you asked these questions to young people? How about, according to the Declaration, what is the primary purpose of government? It's a very simple question. I'm sure each and every one of us could think of five or six things to say off the top of our heads. What about this? The Declaration speaks of truths that are self-evident. What are those truths? Why are they called truths? And what makes them self-evident? I ran these questions by a few people, adults, not teenagers, and their response was, no teenager would be able to answer those questions today. And yet, I didn't form those questions. I got them from a school textbook, The Citizen and the Constitution, Level 3. Very difficult to find textbooks on civics these days. I wonder if that's by design. Ha, ha, ha. So, you know, my question is, why is this not taught in schools today? Well, we know why it's not taught in schools today, because they don't want really well-educated sovereign citizens, because they want to destroy America and make it a region of New World Order. But here's the thing. Just as the parents are pushing back against this trans agenda and against having drag queens showing their titties to little three-year-olds and whatever, you know, we've started to push back against that. There's much more pushback all over the world than any of the media are showing. It's time to really get to the root of the problem, which is a rudderless generation. You have to have pride in your country. You have to have pride in your tribe. If you don't, then you have to leave or try to convince the other people, you know, tell them why you're not proud. You know, if you don't come from a culture of we are doing the best to make our country the best in the world and we are doing the best for our citizens and we believe in freedom, we believe in sovereignty, what kind of generation is going to, what kind of generation will that begat? Clueless people, gormless people, people who are more interested in distractions than understanding where they came from. So let's conduct a test. Let's make a list, each and every one of you out there, let's make a list of all the teenagers you know, 11 to 18 years old, and then ask them some of these questions. I'm going to give you a list of questions. How about, what do you know about the historical and philosophical foundations of our country's ideas about constitutional government? I have another one. Can you take me through the creation of the US Constitution? How about, can you discuss the expansion of rights since the ratification of the Constitution in 1788? You could also ask, how is the national government organized? What about this? Can you discuss the meanings of the various rights guaranteed in the Bill of Rights? What about, by what authority is the Constitution ordained and established? Next question. What is the connection between the stated goals of the Constitution and the purposes of government as outlined in the Declaration of Independence. And if all of those questions meet you with blank squares, you need to get into those schools and ask them why they're churning out indifferent and apathetic minds and meat bodies instead of sovereign citizens. Perhaps we should start by asking, what does the Pledge of Allegiance mean to you? Actually, now that I think on it, let me have another sip of this drinky poo-poo. Hold on. I blame the yellow pollen for the poor quality of my voice. So if we do ask them, what does the Pledge of Allegiance mean to you? And you get that vacant stare, then you will know the extent of the globalist pollution in your school district. And perhaps we want to see if there's really any spark of life left in our common or garden variety American youth person today. You know, I'm sure there is deep down there somewhere. Let's ask a few of those questions in a simpler, yet more philosophical form. How about we go with something like this? What is human nature? Not a difficult question. Is there a wrong and right answer? So, what is human nature? We could also ask them, what traits of personality and character, if any, do all people have in common? What traits of personality and character, if any, do all people have in common? We should also ask, are people selfish? And we should ask, do they have the capacity to care for the good of others? Then we can ask, what should be the purpose of government? Where should people in positions of power get their authority to govern? How should a government be organized? What kinds of government should be respected and supported? What kinds of government should be resisted and fought? And then we can ask, what would life be like if there were no government, no rules, and no controls? Now, people, these are good questions, and they're all in the textbook, and I can certainly send them to you if you email me. But I have been a little distressed of late when I talk to my late teens clients about how clueless they are of their country's history. And as you know, here on the Martini Show, we Martini heads believe very much that America has a sacred purpose. America was mentioned in shaman lore years ago, long before America even existed for Western folk. Of course it existed, but people elsewhere didn't know that it existed. We want to get some curiosity back into the youth of today. You know, it's not cool to be stupid. In my day, if you were the stupid one in the class, that's when they bullied you. You were cool if you had a good IQ. You were cool if you got your homework in on time. You were cool if you thought for yourself and at least made an effort to have an open mind. You were cool if you paid attention and took advantage of whatever education was being offered to you. Yeah. And all those questions also, I think we could ask our peers those questions. And if we stick with it, we could start up something called the Constitution Coffee Mornings. I think that would be a lovely idea. I mean, what could be more American than discussing freedom with a cup of coffee in one hand, a piece of pie in the other, and a handgun holstered at the hip? That's what I'm talking about. That's the America I came to live in. Oh, my darlings. Oh, you know, I think I'm going to wrap it up very shortly for the show. Not quite yet, because I haven't quite finished my lovely drink. Let me do that now. Hold on. Oh, that was much better than I thought. So now I can say I have finished my drink, and that always means it's almost time to say goodbye. A big thank you to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for making possible the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mysticalwares.com, online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. And if you want to buy shungite, don't go anywhere else. They have the best quality and some really good prices. Today's real-life cocktail was, wait for it, a barbed wire teeny. And here's how you make it. And I'll be honest, I didn't think this flavor combo would work, but I am happy it did because the last one was awful. So, 6 parts vodka, 1 teaspoon sweet vermouth, 1/2 teaspoon Pernod, 1/2 teaspoon Chambord, which is that very sweet French raspberry liqueur, and you want a lemon twist for garnish. So go ahead, put everything into a shaker filled with cracked ice and give it shaky, 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 hard shake. Then strain and pour into a chilled martini glass and then boast about your newfound prowess as a mixologist. Darlings, it has been an absolute pleasure. I'm Ani, mad as the day is long, Aberdissian. This was A Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Until we meet again, if anyone challenges your sovereignty, smack them until they cry. Whatever the current fake government suggests, do the exact opposite. Refuse to comply. Get a gun, learn how to use it, and keep your powder dry. But above all, my darlings, let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Apodisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.